constant sorrow all through his days. I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days.
Getting to, eventually, is our next movie, which is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Yes. And I'll let you, audience, take a couple guesses as to, like, two actors in this movie that show up. Because it's kind of like a running theme here so far. It's George Clooney, by the way. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Clooney has been in all the movies. He actually played John Goodman playing the playing Munt from Barton Fink. It's all a ruse.
Yes.
Proving
thus that George Clooney is the greatest actor of all time.
Yes.
If you sexiest need man alive.
Also sexiest man alive, yes, for like 100 years in a row or whatever. Yes. Okay.
So,
and I'm going to go and ask you a question.
All right.
If I may.
Yes.
Is John Turturro in this movie better than Barton Fink?
Ooh.
Can't remember the name Barton Fink, so I was like, what is the character's name?
What is John Turturro's name in Barton Fink?
Yeah. But, Jesus Christ.
I think he might be better than Barton Fink, honestly.
Yeah.
But,
I do really like him in this movie as well. Yes. It's like,
oh my god, this probably had the best characters.
Yes, yeah. Yes, agree. Mm-hmm. Fully agree.
I do have a question for you as well.
Okay.
Did you read the Odyssey in high school?
Yes.
Okay. So, I read part of it because I didn't read any of the books they assigned me in high school, but. I because Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, or the Where Art Thou is sort of lightly follows the story of the Odyssey, I recognized two parts of the story with the Sirens and the Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess did you recognize any more than that?
You know, I would recognize a lot more if I'd read the Odyssey in the last, like, 5 years.
Well, I guess it has been a bit longer for you than it has for me.
Yeah, I think I read the Odyssey back when I was a probably a sophomore in high school. Same. Yeah, probably about that time.
No, wait, I was a freshman.
I'll tell you now, I love mythology. I think it's some of the best stories come from mythology. And I mean, all of our movies come from mythology, pretty much. Like, yeah. You can point anything going, this is, you know, like, just, like, this tale, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or this character is kind of like this, you know. But, gosh, I kind of wish I had read the Odyssey before.
Yeah, I totally had done this.
It's a book that I think you could possibly maybe enjoy later on, because you kind of understand a lot more, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I
from the Odyssey here, yes.
Yeah, well,
this is just great.
I mean, it does have a lot to do with this film. So.
Yeah, it does.
But, I don't know. I never got into it, but maybe I would if I gave it another chance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because it is linked to that. But the movie itself.
Yeah, go to the synopsis of it real fast.
Should I do that, or whose turn is it?
You did, well, I guess we kind of both made fun of Lebowski a little bit, and then this part happens, then Goodman shows up and it's all good.
Yeah.
So, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is based on, the Odyssey, as we said already, but the actual synopsis of it is basically these three prisoners, played by George Clooney, John Turturro, and Tim, Nelson.
And Blake Nelson. Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, no, what can I call this guy by his actual name? Tim Nelson. Yes. Blake Nelson, I guess you want to say the full name. Because pretentious people have the three names in there. Tyler W. Moore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Tyler Wolfgang Moore to you. You punk.
You're right. Yeah. Who escaped from their chain gang. Mm-hmm. So that is probably takes place in the 1930s.
It's the Great Depression era, so.
Yeah, definitely before World War II. Yes. Okay. And as they're trying to run away, their whole plan is to go and find this buried treasure, mm-hmm. which, by the way, that's like a thing that pretty much like almost all the
that's true.
Movies, Coen brothers that's have true. Buried treasure or something to do with money. Like, I think it's a lot of greed is greed's a big part of their movies.
That's interesting. I never noticed that.
Ah, cool. I am educating you in the ways of the film and stuff of Coen brothers. Yes.
Great vocabulary there, Chris.
Got that university language going on there, you know? It's a dictionary.
Your student loans are already paying themselves.
Yeah. This movie kind of covers a little bit of history, actually, in that cool way.
Oh, yes.
Where it shows off one of my favorite of bank robbers.
George Nelson.
George Babyface Nelson, yep. Yeah. Who I'm trying to decide if they did a better job in this movie with Babyface Nelson or in Public Enemies.
I knew you were going to bring it up because it was great.
Yeah.
He's getting carried away to get executed. I'm George Nelson.
No, yeah. Because it reminds you a whole lot of Team American World Police for some reason. I have no idea why.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, which we'll cover that movie later on, I think.
Oh, yes. We'll have to do a Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of me just going, this is stupid. Yeah. Why are we doing
and
this?
Me going, no, it's not, Chris. Shut up.
This is why it's funny. No. they meet John Goodman's character.
Oh, yes.
Who comes off as like this, like, you know, guy's going to help him out a little bit, you know.
Traveling Bible salesman.
Yep, that's right, he's a traveling Bible salesman. Who
has one eye.
Who decides to mug. Oh, that's right, he was one eye.
He's the Cyclops.
Yes, he was. Who decides to mug them and
beats the shit out of them.
Yes. Oh, we missed a part. There's the part of the sirens, yes, where John Turturro's character kind of disappears. And
they find his clothes. And there's a toad hopping around them, so...
Yeah, so Tim Nelson thinks... His character thinks that the toad...
Is John
Turturro.
He's convinced that the sirens transformed him into a toad.
Yes.
And so when we go back to the John Goodman scene...
Yes.
At the very end of it...
He kills the toad.
He fucking, like, smashes the toad against a tree.
Which I think I'm going to go ahead and note that, by the way, for the most violent death,
yes,
in any Coen Brothers
movie. Doesn't he like squeeze it and then throw it against the tree?
Yes.
It's awful.
And you thought No Country for Old Men was...
Yes.
Which, okay, sorry, that's jumping ahead a little bit. All right, this movie has... the Ku Klux Klan in there. This movie has...
Oh my god, yes.
God, like everything in there. Anyways, so they help out Babyface Nelson a little bit.
Yes.
Who acts the same way in this movie, by the way, as he did in Public Enemies.
Right, yeah.
Maybe a little more crazier.
Yeah.
But like I said, they're trying to, like, the whole idea was like them to going off trying to get to the treasure before what was it that was going to stop them? Oh, there's going to be a flood. A dam's going to put up so that the air's going to be flooded where the treasure's supposed to be at.
Yeah.
And to find out, though, it was all a lie to get Clooney, was trying to get to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
To stop her from marrying a dude.
Selfishly.
selfishly, yes. And so he basically takes these two guys along on this pleat fake trail.
This ruse that he set up.
Yeah, it's ruse. Thank you. Think of the ruse. It's quest. And
this holy exodus.
Yeah. I'm trying to skip ahead of this before you said that.
You knew it was going to happen.
I was trying to keep going. I was like, nope, he's going to say it. That's fine. They run into a radio station where they give a performance of their lifetime, I guess. Mm-hmm. Call it that. Performance of a lifetime. And people are trying to, like, people are, like, becoming huge fans of them. And they have no idea, by the way. Yeah, they had no idea what's going on.
The Soggy Bottom Boys.
That's right.
And let me just say, the soundtrack to this movie is fantastic.
Oh yes,
and I love because like you're so limited with songs from the 1930s because like you know who knows any like you know. I love how "You Are My My Sunshine" plays like. Like 10 times in the movie. And I love how at the end he has them sing it just because he thinks like that's the key to winning.
Yeah, that's right, the mayor. Or the governor, I mean, sorry. Is like, let's see this.
They're going to lead us in a song of "You Are My Sunshine." Aren't you, boys?
Oh, they donned disguises. Yes. They donned these beards.
Fake beards.
Which, I can't decide who looks better in the long beard. Turo probably pulls it off.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, God.
This movie goes really crazy at the last act of the movie.
It really does.
It's like it's not hard to like, give a synopsis, though, because it just like, goes all over
this
place.
This is a lot like Big Lebowski in the way that it doesn't really.
How dare you, sir, comparing this masterpiece to the Big Lebowski,
which is also widely considered a masterpiece.
Listen, buddy, I think that widely should encompass my opinion because my opinion is always right, and
So, but like in the way that it like, there's not really a beginning, middle, end like plan. I guess it's just sort of their adventures as they encounter them, and it's a lot like the Odyssey in that way.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of the Odyssey was try to get home after the Battle of Troy. Mm-hmm. If I'm mistaken, yeah. Oh, Troy. And they're just misadventures of land the islands and all that stuff. Which, their part of hell in this was actually, or Hades, was pretty good. That was the
was that the
KKK?
Yeah, that's what
It was the KKK rally, which I think was really great, because I had the burning cross and all the very, those kind of symbols in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie does a lot of symbolism in there. And I kind of wish that I knew a lot more about it to actually explain it a little further along.
This is probably going to be a movie I watch several more times.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of these are going to have multiple viewings. But this one demands multiple viewings, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things you watch the first time, just like kind of try to breathe in as much as possible and do it again. You try to breathe a little more
you know,
each time you go.
Sort of. Like the Big Lebowski.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. I couldn't hear what you're saying. Let's move on to the next part of the thing.
It sounds like the Skype call's going out.
But yeah. So he's trying. So Clooney's character is trying to get back to his ex-wife, and and she's like kind of like putting these extreme demands on him. Mm-hmm. Like she wants the ring that.
It was the ring that he gave to her the first time they were married.
Yes. And so they go through trying to get to the ring. Of course, they run into the guy that's like chasing him down for the entire movie. Yeah. Which we kind of skipped a little bit there where the governor pardons them.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've already been pardoned, but these guys are going to lynch them anyway.
It's because of inconvenience, I guess. Yeah. That's, by the way, is a it seems like a running thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of like people doing things because it's just because they got inconvenienced, mm-hmm. and so they're gonna do it anyways. Like in Big Lebowski, there was the muggers.
Yep, that's right.
That when they didn't have the money, they mugged him anyways. And Walter takes them all out. Great, actually, that's actually a pretty fun scene.
Are you discovering that you like this movie a little bit more?
No, I'm really not, actually. It had great parts, and then it had really bad parts. I feel
like those parts redeemed it.
Good for you. Anyway, so they're about to lynch him, and that's when the great flood from the dam happens. Mm-hmm. And this is like some of the fastest running water I've ever seen, yes. in the whole movie. Some of the fastest flooding I've ever seen.
I think this is actually probably one of my favorite parts of the movie, because yes. George Clooney this whole time is like speaking ill of religion and how he's so much more advanced than everyone, and like that's the moment where he breaks down and he's like but then after it's over, after he gets saved by this divine intervention, he's like, oh no, there's a perfectly
logical explanation, yeah. for all this. He, yes.
gives this ridiculous explanation.
that was like the biggest, greatest like flash flood I've ever seen, yes. in my entire life. It looked like the scene from Evan Almighty. Getting the damn breaks in that movie.
Yeah, that's true. That was pretty instantaneous.
Yes.
How dare you remind me of Evan Almighty?
That was, by the way, the best of the two. I mean, Bruce Almighty just couldn't hold its candle to
Jim Carrey. is a hack compared to, yeah. Steve Carell.
What depends? Is it Jim Carrey in The Grinch, or is it...
Oh, yo, man, don't be dissing Jim Carrey in The Grinch. He went through a lot of shit.
I know.
Had to fucking train with Navy SEALs and shit.
Anyways. So Clooney gets the ring. He thinks it's the ring. He takes it back to the lady.
Isn't and it like her, like, mom's ring or something?
Yeah, something like that. And she's like, that's not the ring.
What a bitch.
And he's like, we're not going to be able to find it because it's the bottom of the lake, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And of course, it also ends off like with the blind man who, for some reason, is like on a railway handcar. Because mm-hmm. he can't be, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's also another thing from the Odyssey. Cause they,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which they do a great, they did a really good job with making that as humorous as possible. It's like, you think, I was sitting like watching the movie and you're like, this guy's blind, mm-hmm. and he's using a handcart, really. Like, what happens if like a train is coming by? You can't hear the train. You probably feel the train, I guess, yeah. but
I mean, oh, he'll he's know. Screwed out of the way. He'll know.
Maybe he has like that Daredevil sense thing, like, feel.
He has that Daredevil thing where he can throw all of the darts into the bullseye.
No, he played the, I remember what the name of the characters, there's actually three characters, I believe, that can like see the future.
Oh, that's, yeah. For some reason, there's also something similar to that in Macbeth, right? Because I started thinking of that while that scene was going on. Yeah, it was like the three witches.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, because they do the whole bull in trouble thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually...
I actually did read all of that in high school, so...
Anyways. But for this movie right here, I would say this is probably... I don't know what No Country for Old Men for your opinion is, but I do know at least 1, 2, 3 of them. I think we can both agree on that. This is a really good movie.
Yes, absolutely.
It's absolutely one you should definitely go see. Mm-hmm. Was this on Netflix?
No, we had to rent this on YouTube.
Oh, that's right.
So, should we move on to the next film?
It's great. You liked it. It's great. Yes. Move on to the next film. No Country for Old Men. Which, now it's your turn for
the synopsis.
Yes. Right. Okay. This one stars a character, an actor, my bad. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, probably. Yevyar Bardem.
Quick editor's note, now that I actually have the name in front of me, it is pronounced Javier Bardem. So, yeah, we're going to be pronouncing it wrong for the rest of the episode, but I just wanted to make that correction. Back to the show.
Who I don't normally enjoy, but in this, actually, I actually liked watching him in this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let you go into your synopsis and we'll get into our opinions and stuff.
And also, this is, there is only one Coen regular in this, I think. The guy at the office that Woody Harrelson goes to, it was the same guy from the, record place in, Oh Brother. But anyway, so no. So, No Country for Old Men is basically about some sort of drug deal gone awry, and is Josh Brolin? Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, basically happens upon this, and finds a shitload of money, as we've said. Money is usually the MacGuffin in all of these movies. So he gets caught up in this whole thing, and what's the character's name? It's like Anton something.
Oh, the killer?
Yeah.
I do not recall, actually, but I know that
Anton.
He was absolutely insane.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Anton. I can't remember what the last name was. It was some weird name.
This guy who's just like essentially a force of nature. Starts hunting him down, trying to get the money from him. And like, again, it's another one. He's only out to get what he wants, and he, will stop at nothing to get it. And, will totally blow you away. If you even think about getting, if you even
literally blow you away with his silencer on his shotgun.
Yes. Which
I think I've ever seen before in my entire life.
Oh my God. The sound design in this movie is so great.
By the way, real fast. We said force of nature. That's probably the best summary of this whole movie here, is that the whole movie is all about the force of nature.
Yes. Basically.
Yes.
And so it's basically like this, basically a game of cat and mouse, really, of him just chasing him down, trying to get the money. And I mean, like, this movie is so clever. And this is an adaptation of a Cormac McCarthy novel. So, I mean, yeah.
This is probably also like the most pessimistic.
Oh yeah.
Of all the Coen Brothers movies. I mean, even
I don't
though
think there's
Barton
any
Fink,
comedy in it.
There, yeah, you're right. There really
a lot,
isn't. I mean,
most of the movies are like, you know, they're black comedies. But
I mean, Fink was pretty dark.
Oh yeah.
As well as pretty pessimistic, but at least it had like parts that you actually go, okay, just relax a little bit. There was like almost not relaxing. I mean, maybe the bits between Tommy Lee Jones and his deputy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was deputy.
Yeah, it's his deputy.
Whoever that guy was. Was probably the only like comedic sort of parts in there. But even then it wasn't
it's super dry
funny.
There.
Yeah, super dry. Which Tommy Lee Jones is a very dry
man. Tommy Lee Jones is great in this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's basically the movie, though, and even, like, it's that for 2 hours, but it's done so well that it's, that's not a bad thing.
It's like Josh Brolin trying to outsmart, Yevyar Barton's character. But it's probably some of the most fascinating things, like, watch him try to, like, get away from him, and then he discovers that here, there's, like, transponder.
Yeah, transponder. It's like this little locator device in the
locator. Thank
found.
You.
He had like the guy hunting him has a thing that can locate it.
Yeah. So like one. By the way, like one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie is like him is Brolin sitting back in his hotel in the motel. He's sitting back with his gun, just like sitting there at the door, waiting for Barnum to come barging in. And I guess he didn't expect the fact that Barnum would have, like, the pressure.
Yeah, the air pressure.
Shot. Or,
yeah.
Which, like, shoots, basically, he Barnum puts the canister up next to a...
the lock on the door.
Lock on the door, and pushes down a button, and all of a sudden the lock goes, just flying out of its place.
And he's done this a couple times in the movie at that point, and, like, when you're, like, it starts, the camera starts zooming towards the lock, and you're like, oh, shit, it's gonna come flying out. And it, like,
sweet, great.
And it flies out and, like, hits him in the chest.
It's like, oh, that would hurt so bad. Because, like, the part that hit him was, like, those two little prongs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So right, and it's like, oh. And so, you know, they just open fire on each other, and they're, like, going through the streets. And
yeah.
That was probably the best part of the whole movie. Like, just, like, them, like, going through the streets, like, trying to get away from each other. Mm-hmm. Or Barnum's trying to catch him. And he
kind of gains the upper hand. Like, basically...
That part is the only part of that entire movie that Barnum was actually...
Oh, was but actually, he was vulnerable,
Vulnerable, yeah. Because he got shot in the leg. Which, I'm going to go and skip ahead a little bit for a second here. The part where Barnum was, like, performing surgery on himself was so gross.
I cringed several times.
Yes. I was like, oh. I was sitting up there, let's see what I watched. I watched this during I had a break between two classes.
Oh, great.
Just no time to watch this. So I was watching this movie. And so I'm like, you know, I'm sitting in this little hidey hole, though, so nobody can see my movie. I'm like, if anybody can see this right now, like, this is, like, the grossest, like, thing for somebody to, like, look over and see.
God, yeah.
It's kind of just like, oh, God, like, pulling out the
bullets.
The shrapnel from the shell. Just like, oh, God.
And, like, he's injecting himself, like...
Which I could never do.
Oh, my God.
I could
never check myself.
Like, if I needle, like, I just couldn't do it. Just like, nope.
Nope. I guess I'm just going to bleed to death.
Yeah. His movie...
he, like, pours the alcohol on his leg.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever, like, poured alcohol on your own? Like, by your... Like, pouring it, like, on a wound you're by yourself or whatever?
No. I wouldn't.
Oh, it's awful. It's like... Because, like, your skin, like, knows is about to happen. Yes. A lot. It's like something that gets, like, a lot worse. Uh-huh. So, Brolin gets shot pretty badly.
Oh yeah.
He makes it over to the Mexican, Mexico-U.S. border. And he's woken up to as he, like, after he crosses the border, he's woken up to these three mariachis.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess didn't realize he was bleeding to death. And they kind of, like, do the thing where, like, they're playing. Also, they just kind of, like, go Oh, God.
Yeah, and then, like, the bloody $100 bill.
That was such a gross bill. And so he, you know, passes out in the hospital, waking up to Woody Harrelson's character, which I kind of... He was so underplayed.
Yeah, there should have been more of him.
That was one of two complaints about this movie. I only had two complaints this entire movie.
I do have a question for you later.
Yeah. Okay. Later. Cool. Woody Harrelson wakes up to Woody Harrelson, who basically tells him that Brolin's wife is, you know, gonna be in danger, and Brolin's like, there's no way. If she's like, well, if I found you like this, how much longer is this gonna be for, you know, Barnum's character to find you, or the Anton to find you? Mm-hmm. But I think it's, like, the 3 hours over he had.
What?
And so, what?
What?
I said, like, Brolin had, like, 3 hours ahead of...
Yeah, that's right.
Barnum, right. Whatever. Crap, what happened after that? It was... Oh, yeah, Brolin, like, goes across the border again with the money. Uh-huh. And here comes the second complaint of the whole movie. It's just the sudden death of... Josh Brolin's character.
Okay, yeah, this is what I was going to ask you about, because a lot of people have complained about, I guess it's, like, sort of the third act. Because, like, the whole movie is very linear, and then it starts skipping around a lot. So I was wondering if you hated that.
I hated that. I hated that, even though, like, they explained basically what this movie was about between, was it Tommy Lee Jones and his brother? No, not his brother. Who was that character he goes to?
Oh, the guy with all the cats?
Yeah.
I think it's just a friend of his. I didn't pick up on any, like, relation or anything.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But, they basically explain, like, what the movie's about in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Which I thought that was a nice conversation, yeah. Actually. They kind of brought it back to, okay, this is okay now.
Yeah. The movie is about how, like, is basically sort of about how,
nature controls.
Yeah.
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 You can't stop nature.
He's just so behind in, like, because, like, things have just become, like, too advanced for him to handle at this point.
It also, like, there's a lot of morality stuff. And
yeah.
Kumbro's, like, there's a lot of, like, things, like, you know, people that are selfish tend to end up dead.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are less selfish seem to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, this right here, Josh Brolin's character was plagued by greed,
mm-hmm.
with the cash. He could have saved his wife's life if he'd given the money up, you know.
Still would have died, but
he still would have died. Yeah, I mean but he's trying to escape his death, even though he's basically marked for death. Mm-hmm. He's going to die.
In a way, he was trying to stop him. So, like, but I mean, it was selfish in that he could have just sort of surrendered and.
Well, he could have told the police. He could have, said something to somebody. That this is what's going on.
That's true.
He got way in over his head. Got way too selfish. He could control the situation. He had no control actuality, and so he ends up getting what he deserves in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, I almost hated this part. I hated it for a little bit,
okay.
But then kind of came back and liked it. Where Bardem does not actually get killed in this movie. He gets away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like where I kind of went, okay, this is a very pessimistic movie, and I'm going to accept the fact it's a pessimistic movie, yeah. And just be happy with the way it was.
Oh, I guess, yeah, something you guys should know about Chris is that mm-hmm. he doesn't like pessimistic movies that much.
Yeah, it sounds awful, but I'm like, I'm usually only into, like, movies that actually have happy endings, which is really terrible. That should not be what I'm into, mm-hmm. but it's just something these kind of movies right here don't usually appeal to me. But this one actually was one of the first ones actually went, okay, this is actually pretty doggone good.
Yeah. I feel like something that really helps this movie out is, like, because, and I think this is, like, a reason that people hate how it just sort of skips ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it doesn't point blank tell you everything. Like, you have to actually be paying attention and, like, be looking at what's happening in order to sort of tell, like, how, because you can totally tell everything that went down once Tommy mm-hmm. Lee Jones is, like, looking around the crime scene. But, like,
yeah.
I feel like people just wanted it spelled out for them, and they didn't get it, and I like that.
And that was almost a complaint about Tommy Lee Jones in this movie. It was kind of like, his character was kind of useless in there, but then I, think about the fact that he's kind of like he's basically the audience.
That is sort of the point, though. Like, he's become too aged to handle something as big as this.
Yeah. And that, to me, actually made it work in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, it's kind of like, okay, where's this going to go? Maybe he's going to show up, whatever. And at first, like, when he's pulling up to meet up with Brolin's character, like, okay, well, he's going to meet up with Brolin's character. It's going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden,
the cartel guys
show up and kill Brolin. And I guess Brolin kills, like, two of the guys, I think.
Mm, that's right.
Before he gets killed. Like, two dead bodies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that part was like, because I was like, I really wanted Brolin to, like, I expected Brolin to die eventually,
yeah.
But not, like, not in that kind of manner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there's no way. Now, I couldn't tell, and I'm not sure if I got the suppression or not, but did he end up cheating on his wife?
Yeah, you know, I think he might have.
And to me, that actually goes like, okay, he deserves to die.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think the reason that scene was there was to, like, remind you, like, this guy isn't the hero.
Yeah.
This guy's a selfish asshole.
Yeah. The only, like, hero sort of person was Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. And even then, it was kind of like the weak hero.
Because, I mean, these things are just sort of happening around him.
Yeah, the overpowered bad guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was kind of convoluted, though, with the whole, like, corporation behind the money. And
yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird.
That was... Because, I mean, you could almost remove that from...
Yeah, you really could have removed it. I mean, you could have just explained that, you know, maybe Bartom found about the money or whatever. You're kind of, like, going after him.
I'm sort of thinking that maybe that was more in the book. And, like, that's why Woody Harrelson's character is even there.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I feel like you probably could have cut it from the film, but...
Yeah. I feel like we're being a little negative here, by the way, this movie.
Oh, let's just reiterate that this is a great movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's way up there. I think at the end of this, we should definitely, like, rank the movies.
Yeah.
But,
Like I said, this is probably one of my favorite, out of only a few, I actually liked, Bardem movies.
Mm, right.
And this also has, like... So Josh Brolin's, like, best acting too.
Oh yes, I guess we haven't even talked about him.
Like, yeah, he is one of my favorite actors. He's absolutely I grabbed there. Mm-hmm. He does a great job, and particularly anything I watch him in. One of the first things I actually watched him, which is kind of weird, was actually no, it was True Grit. Actually, was the first thing I watched him in. The second thing was a movie called W.
Right. Right.
No, actually, I'm even more wrong. Sorry, I can't think about this. The Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
The first time I saw him. Okay, but as far as, like, a serious actor, I guess.
As an adult.
Was True Grit and then movie W, which is about George W. Bush, and he plays George W. Bush. It does a great job. I don't know what it was. It's such an appealing movie to me. But then he was also in Men in Black 3.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
In which, by the way, he played Tommy Lee Jones' character in that, as a younger version of him. And I don't know. I still can't tell if they did, like,
I feel like
audio replacement in that at all, or if that was just Brolin just doing the voice perfectly.
I feel like that was him. I'm sure it was.
But it was, like, it was so close. He's a great actor, so I absolutely enjoyed watching him. He was a pleasure to watch in this, and I was also a big part of, like, why I hated that he died. Yeah. I don't want him to die. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. So he's a joy to watch.
Yeah,
I think that he was probably the absolute best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like his kind of scenes. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think that Anton was the driving force of the movie, and did he win an Oscar for this? I know I think he was nominated, at least.
I didn't actually look that up, honestly.
Okay.
No Country was nominated for 8 Academy Awards, won 4, including Best Picture. Additionally, Bardem won Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. Mm. Okay.
All right, and he deserved it.
Good, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was freaky.
Yeah.
Okay. The whole gas station scene was, like,
yes,
probably the best, like, just, like, if you just, like, watch the scene out there, you just know who the character is.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the whole, like, flipping the coin thing and just, like, I don't know,
I was so glad that it came back.
Yeah, the coin came back in the very end. Mm-hmm. With, Brolin's wife.
Mm-hmm. But, I think his performance is the highlight of it.
All right, so No Country,
great movie,
definitely a winner in both our books. And now comes
last but not least,
is a movie that it's an awful movie, but we both love it.
I wouldn't even say it's awful.
What would you say?
I would say it's a great movie.
No, I'm saying it's awful. Like, as in, like.
Oh, okay.
It's not like a movie like you'd, like, normally watch, like, study, like,
yeah.
As, like,
oh,
as,
yeah, like, this like, isn't, like, a lot. I think most of the Coen Brothers movies you would probably say, like, you know, these are movies that, like, film school students should watch, and
this one is not.
This is not. This is probably, like, the most accessible one for like a mainstream audience, I would say. Even then, it's a little weird.
Yeah,
like
it's a little weird still.
Like, because like in terms of storytelling, but
it's John Malkovich in there makes it
yes
really odd. He's, I can't think of like a single role he's ever played where he played somebody normal.
That's true. That is true.
Because like, I don't know what it is. Like, he just. I don't think that he's sick. He's
great. I think he just shows up on set.
I would. God, Malkovich would be so much fun to like work with because he just seems like he'd be like just the funny guy. Yes. His delivery is probably something like the.
That's true.
It's absolutely like right on, just like right on point. It's like absolutely, it's perfect.
Yeah, he has incredible delivery, especially in this film. I'll come right out and say the performances in this are, every one of them stand out in their own way. This movie's hilarious. Quickly, let's give a synopsis. So, John Malkovich
good luck.
Works for the CIA, and he's laid off, yeah? Or just, oh, no, just fired.
Well, it wasn't like he was going to get transferred to some, like, you know, boring job. So he decides to quit.
That's right.
And he's going to make a memoir. Yeah. Which it gets put onto a CD.
Because his wife is trying to divorce him. Because she's having an affair with George Clooney. The George Clooney. He's George Clooney in the movie.
I mean, I would have an affair with Clooney, let's be honest. Yeah, that's you know, I would.
I think I also had written down to ask you, oh God, what was it?
Would I have an affair with George Clooney? Yes, I just answered that question.
I was going to ask you a really awkward question involving George Clooney.
Do I think he's sexy? Yes, I do.
But absolutely. I don't even think we're lying. Absolutely.
Nope.
I would go totally gay for George Clooney. Anyway.
Am I jealous of the fact that he's now, he's going to get married? Yes.
Damn that woman. Anyway.
Sorry. So now we get introduced to Brad Pitt's character.
Hold on. Rewind a bit.
Go ahead.
So.
Okay, sorry.
His, John Malkovich's wife is going to divorce him, and she needs information from his computer. I can't remember exactly what the information was, but there's all this data from his computer, and it includes his memoir, which contains, of course, CIA information. Mm-hmm. And his wife delivers it to this woman who works for her divorce lawyer, and she leaves it at the gym where we're introduced to Brad Pitt's character, who is the best character in the movie.
I was going to say, yeah, he's absolutely the shining of the whole movie.
I think he's my favorite Coen Brothers character.
He's like the ultimate caricature of that kind of person.
Right.
And to me, Brad Pitt is in my top five favorite actors of all time. He's always a pleasure to watch, and in this, it's no different.
He is just absolutely fantastic in this movie. And what's her face from Fargo's in this as well?
Real fast. Just make sure the audience knows, just because I want to really say this. He plays like that overly, like, I'm trying to think of the word of it. Thank you, flamboyant. exercise guy.
He's just like this total meathead.
Yep. And he's like totally charming though.
Yes.
You can go back now that we talked about Brad Pitt. We can definitely go back to talk about Frances McDormand.
Yeah, that's right.
Who is trying to get plastic surgery because she believes that she's no longer pretty anymore.
Multiple plastic surgeries. Yeah.
Like all over, basically. Her entire body is going to be changed over. And so Brad Pitt and her decide that they're going to try to extort John Malkovich's character Which, of course, they think that there's, like, you know, extreme, like, secrets on there, yeah. like, you know, nobody would ever know about, blah, blah, blah. It turns out it's not just really information. Yeah, it's just his memoir. Nobody cares. After they can't get money from him, they go to the Russian embassy.
They go to the Russians for some reason.
Which, then they're like, this is part of the information. We'll have more for you later or whatever. It gets accepted. It's like,
it's the Russian embassy in the U.S. Like, they're thinking, oh, yeah, we have some dirt on America here.
Yeah. Stupid. It's great. Which, of course, the Russian embassy tells the...
Yeah.
The CIA that this is what happened.
Just basically explains so, it point blank to them.
And so that's where you get, like, introduced, like, the back and forth sort of thing, like, which is, yeah. like, because, like, back to the CIA headquarters, which is, like, them, like, trying to explain, like, what just happened yeah. in, like, the last scene. Because it's such a crazy movie. Well, because,
like, at this point, by the way, like, everyone is having, individual interactions with the different characters. Mm-hmm. So, like, George Clooney is, like, having multiple affairs.
Yeah.
and
he's, like, super paranoid. He's, like, the most, like, paranoid guy in the whole yes. world. So, he's, like, constantly looking over his shoulder, like, getting, like, antsy about anything whatsoever. Yes. He just, like, goes crazy on it. It's just... And he, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that Pitt was in the movie, Clooney would have stolen the show.
Oh, he just gets so paranoid by the end of the film. It's amazing.
Yes. It's just absolutely crazy.
I feel like if there is a slight chance that someone was dumb enough, if someone was a dumb, stupid, fucking idiot and decided, oh, I haven't seen Burn After Reading, but I'm going to listen to these guys talk about it anyway, we're not going to talk about a certain scene.
There's a certain thing that comes off of Clooney's paranoia
yeah.
that ends up going very badly for a character who I guess we're not going to spoil for whatever reason. Because Tyler is
I don't want to ruin it for someone who is dumb enough to listen to this.
You know, if you're dumb enough to listen to the whole podcast, you're probably dumb enough to do that. So, you know.
Oh, and there goes our last listener. Episode one, Chris, great job. Anyway.
Or episode two, depending on if you split this up into two parts.
Yeah, this is episode two right now.
This is my 2-hour podcast.
I'm kind of in half. Anyway. So.
Like, long ways or short ways?
I don't fucking care. We're cutting this part out. So, this is probably...
So, Tyler, is it long ways or short ways?
So, this is probably the Coen brothers' favorite, funniest...
You have any issues there?
So, this is probably the Coen brothers' funniest movie. Would you agree?
What about, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh Brother, Tyler? Where Art Thou? The horror that are...
That was pretty funny.
That's the official title of the film in Norwegian.
And I don't know if this is one of the most insane movies they've ever made or or Finkus. I don't know.
Yeah. Jeez.
This one's super insane.
By the end of the film, all sanity is gone.
Yeah, that's why, like, the last scene of the movie is... absolutely the best.
Yeah, it goes back to the CIA guys, and they're just recapping everything that's happened, and they're just like, it's just an inconvenience for them.
Yes. They're like, how do we, what do we do about this?
Like, how do we get this over with?
Yeah, that's just, easiest way out, let's just go with it, I don't care anymore.
They just don't even give a fuck, it's the best.
Yes. And that, by the way, I think that if they didn't have those scenes in there, the movie would be as good. Those scenes, like, made the movie just, like, propelled itself up to being actually, this is a great movie.
Yeah. I think it would have been a great movie on its own, but with those scenes, that's what propelled it.
Yeah, for me, it's like that. If it just ended the way it ended, without the CIA scene, it probably wouldn't be as good.
A bad taste in your mouth, but with the CIA scene, what's his name? J.K. Simmons,
yes,
same guy plays J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man.
The absolute best J. Jonah Jameson that I've ever seen. Like, he looks like him, acts like him, does everything perfectly. Yes. Probably the best part of all the Sam Raimi movies. I wish they'd bring him back for
Spider-Man. Yes. Well, I'm back.
That he'll look at Andrew Garfield and be like, "Did you get a haircut?" A little different.
Parker.
What'd you do with your hair? It looks stupid. You have stupid hair.
You should have just put J. Jonah Jameson in this movie as well.
That's right. He plays the
director of the CIA. Or is he?
Yeah. No, right. Plays director of CIA. And,
he's just so annoyed.
Yes. Which I think, yeah, I was trying to think of the word, yeah, annoyed is probably the best description. It's like, what?
So,
he's like, because, like, his, like, face is, like, his facial expressions. Like
he just has this, the best way to sum up his facial expression is...
Yes. But who else was talking about character we missed? Oh, the guy that's like in love with Frances McDormand. What's his name? Oh, Richard Jenkins' character.
The guy who was in Ted. Step Brothers. I was trying to think. I was like, he's in a Will Ferrell movie that Chris would hate.
This, by the way, is probably his best role in comparison to those two. No, actually, he did 6 Feet Under, so I can't say that. Anyways, he was fun.
Definitely. Not the highlight, but definitely fun.
Yeah. Who are we missing? No. Miss character in there?
I don't think so.
No? But not really important. Nope. No. Really, what else we talk about with this movie right here? And then talk about how awesome Brad Pitt was.
Osborne Cox.
It's also a very short movie, really short. Like an hour and a half.
It flies by,
like,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not one of those, like, you know, it has, like, any slow parts in there. It's, like, just, like, this is fun. Yes. It's just fun to watch. So, you'd rank this as being a good movie?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So,
should we start from the bottom, go up to, like, a bottom six?
I think... maybe best to least best. which I would rank them best to least best. Barton Fink. Mm-hmm. Burn After Reading. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men, and Fargo. I'm gonna actually say that No Country for Old Men and Big Lebowski are tied in my eyes.
Okay.
How about you?
First one, mm-hmm. Barton Fink. Mm. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Yeah. Number two. Burn After Reading, No Country for Old Men, Fargo, and then Big Lebowski.
Also, I might say, because I think that Oh Brother and Burn After Reading... are probably a bit interchangeable for me.
Yeah, they really are. And I was trying to think, like, if... Oh, God, I don't know. It's I think that Oh Brother is just a little bit better.
I think in terms of quality, it's much better. But I think that, well, obviously, yes. Oh Brother's a masterpiece. And,
yeah. Perfectly is not a masterpiece.
It's just a great fucking movie. It's just...
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I just liked it more because I think the comedy appealed more to me.
Yeah, and this is definitely one of the movies you can watch. Go, this is definitely a Coen Brothers movie. It's like their themes like all over the place. This one also talking about greed and whatnot. Yeah, like I said, they're definitely directors who like love pretty morality tales in their movies, which I actually really do enjoy because I do like morality tales. I love the MacGuffin of the money being a big part of it, especially in Fargo. It was, you know, obviously the entire movie's pretty much about money. And I think that part that really helps Fargo with me is the fact that that whole, like, urban legend. just I hate to laugh at it, because if it actually is true, it's terrible.
Died, but
it's so like, hilarious.
Why would you do that?
I guess we have to go and do, like, a little summary. Like, it's, like, a real quick thing.
Yeah, really quick, I probably want to say, like, for anyone who's, like, wanting, like, what can we take away from Coen Brothers films, sort of in general, I think that the Coen Brothers movies, even though, like, they're sort of, the plot isn't the focus. I think it's always more about the characters, and it's really interesting how they are able to take, because normally I don't think something like that would work, but they take these characters and hinge the movie completely on them, and it works out for them. So I guess that just stresses the importance of characters.
But I think that we can all agree, though, the best Coen Brothers movie, though, is still Garfield. Which that would have been another 3-hour podcast to talk about Garfield. It's like the theme.
Don't
from
even
that
get
one.
Me started on A Tale of Two Kitties. I mean, where's my lasagna, John? You
God, shut up. Jesus Christ. You know, if they actually had used that line, I would have enjoyed the movie a lot more.
Bill Murray just...
But, God. No, but, back to... Jesus Christ.
You did this.
Derailed.
You did this. This is your fault.
I know. Anyways, they have... I mean, this is just 6 of their movies. We debated on, like, what we're going to talk about. So I think, I said True Grit as being one that I was like, oh, I really wanted to talk about that one. That one's actually, that one's the, like I said, real good introduction to the Coen Brothers. It's actually a remake of an amazing John Wayne film.
I have seen the John Wayne movie.
Also called True Grit. Yeah, and they do a tremendous job with the movie. So that really kind of, I was like, okay, kind of, I'll go and watch them. And I tell you now, anybody listening should definitely go and watch that, and like all these movies are here we've listed, these 6, watch these 6, you know, even though Big Lebowski to me was not that great and Fargo was not that great to you.
But I feel like other people will enjoy them, even if
absolutely. I mean, in our opinion is not, you know,
is not solid
fact. Not it's really not. We're both idiots. Being idiots together in a
shitty podcast
company. As far as like some little trivia for you, if you ever watch their movies and you see the editor name, it's Roderick Janes, and that's actually an alias for those two, because according to Union Guild rules, so they can't be listed also as editor for whatever reason. It's kind of weird. So they had to list themselves as Roderick Janes. He does a great job about editing all their films, apparently.
great job there, Roderick.
Yeah. Well, according to Wikipedia, because that's the best source for our podcast today, the notable works that you can go through is Blood Simple, True Grit, Raising Arizona, which I've not seen, Fargo, Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men, Barton Fink, and Miller's Crossing. But if we're talking realistically here, Burnt Reading is definitely a notable work to us. Not notable in the sense of it actually being like notable.
Everyone should watch Burnt After Reading at least once in their lifetime.
Okay, and that was the Coen Brothers movies, and this is NPR signing off for today.
So what are we talking about next time, Chris? Are we talking about Tarantino movies?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Because we're going to do Tarantino, and I think we're going to do Spielberg afterwards. Mm. And just to give a quick explanation to the audience.
Those are our favorite directors.
Yes. Well, your favorite director is Tarantino. Yes. Mine is Spielberg. We both kind of like them.
Yeah.
Both anyways, interchangeably, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
But as far as like being favorite directors. Mm-hmm. And so that's our next things up. So Tarantino, Spielberg. And who knows after that? We have a whole list of stuff.
Yeah,
we have a lot. Yeah.
But we don't have any sort of schedule plan for this. We're just going to kind of do them when we do them. But I think the Tarantino one might come up fairly fast because you've...
Yeah, I'm watching like pretty much all the Tarantino movies like back to back.
You're on a kick right now, so...
Dude, I really am. Because the night before I watched like two of his movies, and then today I watched one of them at least.
You're finally getting it.
I got it. It's just that it wasn't appealing to me at first. Not kind of. Anyways... That's
a conversation for another podcast.
Yeah, that's our spoiler for the next podcast. Teaser, thank you.
Hey, there you go, there's a little tease for you.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, we're gonna go work on episode 6.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Alright, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.